who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 4th, 2004. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monty Mulkey of Thousand Oaks, California, is the minister on this tape.
You're all here throughout the day? I just want to welcome you. Good. Well, I'm going to try not to get in trouble tonight. Sometimes hard, especially if you want to bring something that's in an area that you haven't heard about before or studied on. And so I try not to rehash a lot of old things, and I try and bring you something new to think about. You know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off? Nothing. Okay. If you have your Bible, I want to start off with some scriptures tonight. We're going to read these, and then I'll tell you what I'm doing. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort or love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A few more verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5 and 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Ephesians 5:21. We're going to do all the scriptures up front tonight, because it's going to take me the rest of the night to explain it. Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Short verse. Luke 22:24. Everybody understands what that means? You know, sometimes we say, I wonder what God was trying to say there. This is so hard. Luke 22:24. Luke 22:24. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Sounds like our churches today. He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I among you is he that serves. And one more in Luke 6:31. The golden rule, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise. I'm going to talk tonight about governments, government of the Bible. In particular, this is called totalitarianism. I think I said that right. And this is a form of government that so many of us were raised in. And what we're going to do tonight is try to bring some explanation to the root of many of the wounds that people carry and what it goes back to. Now, some of you probably were raised in homes where there was very strict discipline, for example. And you would probably say, I'll never do that to my kids. But unless you understand the roots of it, you'll just repeat the same form of government, which is just totalitarianism. This is not something that's taught in God's Word. And we could go on and on with scriptures. God is no respecter of people. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. Every person is alike. Yet we live in a country that doesn't do things quite that way. Our churches today have become a place where the pastors feel that they're one step higher, and they're not. They just have a position. There's no difference between a pastor and a congregation, anyone in the congregation. In fact, that's why a lot of them don't get deliverance, because who's going to deliver them is their congregation, and they can't stoop for that, you know. Equality. This is God's government, and He is the Lord. He is sovereign. Unless we understand root, core, family belief patterns that lead to bondage and sometimes developmental handicaps that many of us suffer, we're not going to get the freedom that we desire. Totalitarian is a system of parenting. It's a system of government that creates bondage for many people. It's just very hard to get free from. This is something that I was really seeking the Lord a long time on, and trying to understand the roots of various things, and where He led me to is understanding this. And it helps so many people get free and get to a place where you can receive healing on some of the wounds that you picked up as a child. Now, every person has wounds. That's the first thing that the devil tries to do, is wound you. In fact, I love to go there. I did a series here, probably a good 10, 12 messages, just on the healing of wounds throughout Scripture and how that operates. And God came to set the bruised, heal the bruised, set at liberty those that are taken captive, to heal those. The devil made sure that you were wounded in the exact place of your strength. And wherever you're the most deeply wounded, that's your strength. Take, for example, rejection. If you were severely rejected, you probably have a great heart and ability to love and compassion. But when you're wounded there, it's not going to flow out. And what the devil does when you're wounded, it's just like two boxers. Anybody, you ever watch boxing? And they're squared off and they're boxing. And then all of a sudden, one of them hits one, and the one that got hit, he flinches. You ever see the other boxer say, oh, I'm sorry, I won't hit you there again. See? When the devil found out that you were wounded in a place, he continually hits you again and again and again in the same place, over and over and over again. He doesn't want you to get up. And this system of government that we have carried over in our marriages and our families is a system that severely wounds children, spouses. The government, it's a family system, family order. The word that was given to it is totalitarianism. What this means, let me give you some definition and some history. Totalitarianism is absolute rulership. It is especially harsh and oppressive. It is having a king. And that is not what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be equal one to another. In fact, the totalitarians will use the scripture the loudest, and they'll take it way out of context. I'm the king of my castle. I'm the lord of this house. No, not lord. He's priest. Completely different. And this is where so many people have been beaten up with, you're supposed to submit to me. And well, first of all, submission means come under the protection of. I always balance the tables. I said, you go home and tell him that he's supposed to submit to you too. Submit ye one to another. I told you I'd probably make some enemies. This okay, Glenn? Bear with me. Absolute rulership. Having and exercising complete political power and control. It's characterized by demanding absolute obedience to authority. Never question it. And see, this gets people, a lot of people, in trouble because they don't question authority when they should. Because some of the people that are taking the place of authority shouldn't be there. If you don't question it, you're going to get in trouble. It is a dictator. Autocratic. Tyrannical. Despotic. There's to be, in God's government, in the marriage, in the family, an equality. There is position, just as there is in the church, there's position, but you don't differ one from another. Let's look at some history. Now, there are various forms of government leadership, and often many people have studied this and researched it, and sometimes it's understood, sometimes it's not. Our Western civilization, well, in the birth of America, the reason America came to be is because they wanted to leave the government of totalitarianism to become a democratic government. And for the most part, you know, there's problems and all that, and I get into that. Our country is that way. It's a country of the people, we the people, all right? But the difference is the families didn't become that way. The marriages across our land today are still totalitarian. Treat the children that way, treat their spouses that way. And when you think about it, you know, our government fought for freedom, and yet it's not that way in the family. Okay? Now, this makes all the men mad and the women glad. 200 years ago, our forefathers moved here to fight against monarchy, to take on a democratic, republic freedom. What was considered Christian and fought for religious freedom, was never applied to the family form of government. Now, perhaps some of you were fortunate enough to have godly parents that knew and understood this and raised things differently. It's changing a little out of time, partly because of the revolt that has happened since the 60s on. There's been a lot of revolt, a lot of rebellion that came in exact opposite. The pendulum swung way over to the other side. Lots of rebellion, and so we began to move out of this. But I was raised that way, and I bet some of you that are a little bit older than I, in the previous generation, you were probably raised in a very strict totalitarian state. That was considered the way the family was supposed to be run. Well, it had some drawbacks. Okay, you know, both the French and American revolutions were direct response to abuse of monarchical power. Hitler's Nazi regime was an extreme social embodiment of monarchical totalitarian power. Obey me. The defeat of Nazism was the end of Western patriarchy. That was Hitler's upbringing. He was raised in a totalitarian environment, plus a lot of other things that I don't have time to go into tonight. But monarchical type of system, monarchy, totalitarian, it worked okay in the Industrial Revolution because it organized social life. It gave people a sense of security. A good German understands this. Just tell me the rules and I'll do that, you know. I can say that because I'm part German, all right? I go over to Germany and they say, Pastor Mike, tell us the rules of deliverance. Oh boy, here we go. I say, okay. They're pretty easy. Now, in Jesus' name and follow the Holy Spirit. You know, and they, you know, it just doesn't compute. They got to know that, you know, give me all the rules first and then we'll follow them. And trying to get them to follow the Holy Spirit is quite a task. Monarchical government, patriarchal, and that's where the father's the head, is a government structure where they are the ruler or the king. And, you know, in all of those forms of government, they take on a belief that it is their religious, God-given, divine right of authority, and they must always be obeyed. That's the belief system that comes with it. Don't question authority. How many of you heard that growing up? There's churches today that still operate that way. While it might have worked in the Industrial Revolution, It has some drawbacks where it really keeps a person emotionally immature, primitive. You do not grow up. You don't grow up in an environment of freedom. It binds the souls and arrests the development. Now, if it wasn't considered Christian, if it wasn't considered good enough for our government, then why do we still embrace it as a family form of government? Papa's rule is Papa's rules, and nobody better buck that, right? I'm not saying he doesn't have the position. There's a difference, and hear me out. Parenting rules from totalitarian produce children of the same type that a totalitarian government would produce. If you lived under a dictator, okay, think of a country that's already that way. Take a communistic country. How are the people there? Lethargic, passive, resigned. Why bother? But yet, if you take our country, the great creativity, all of the freedom of the people to go and be and to use your gifts and talents. And you can see why the devil has really fought people, to keep people in this system, because it will bind your children. And if you were bound as a child, you'll probably do the same thing to your children, and it just goes on and on. We have to change forms of government. We have to understand how the Scripture tells us to operate. Otherwise, we'll just be doomed to repeat it. Instead of thinking, well, I know I was a little hard, I shouldn't have spanked so hard. But that's just part of it. You have to change your whole thinking. You have to realize that your wife is co-partner. You're one flesh. There isn't oneness over the other. In fact, the true scriptural picture is the husband's supposed to serve the wife, not the other way around. I got one amen there. Do you hear another? Okay. Yeah. That's what it means. And these are the verses I read to you. Submit ye one to another. I've got a tape called False Submission, especially for some of you ladies that always hear it the other way. Kids that are raised in totalitarianism also struggle with being lethargic, passive, resigned. They have difficulties having that individuality, the creativity, a correct use of their will, lack confidence. Let me give you some things that are the framework of totalitarianism. Under totalitarian leadership, subjects are never allowed to question. That's not the way it's supposed to be in a Christian home. If your children don't understand, you're supposed to sit down with the Word of God and show them why. Okay? This is one of the wonderful things about deliverance, because they say, why can't I drink that, Daddy? You say, you can show them, because you'll get a demon. Oh, okay. How many of you were why kids? How many of you had parents that let you be a why kid? No. You're never, under totalitarianism, you are never allowed to raise your voice or express anger to the Lord. Now, this is different than showing respect. It's control. It's bondage. Actually, Scripture says, husband or fathers, don't cause your children to become angry at you. Totalitarians is unquestioned obedience. They believe their authority is divine right. I'm the man of the house, and so on it goes. If you study history, if you go back and study the trials of Nuremberg, conscience prevailed over blind obedience. As in every case that was tried, they tried to claim innocence on the basis of their obedience to authority. We were just following orders. Totalitarian gives a father unequal rights over wife, over children. In the very common autocratic German family, mother, children are completely subservient to the father's will, to his moods, to his whims. And they just had to learn to accept humiliation, injustice. I hope everybody hears me, that God does give position, and it's not a message on that. Somebody will have to preach that one on how that's to go. But the totalitarianism that I'm better, or I don't have to answer to anybody, instead of submitting one to another, is the way it's supposed to go. Look at some totalitarian parenting rules. Now, it's very clear, especially as we've been doing deliverance, that consequences follow the repression of will and emotions. If you were raised in a family where your will was suppressed or your emotions were suppressed, it had effects on you. The law of physics reveals that whatever is repressed is going to come out in equal force the opposite direction. You wonder why we have so much rebellion in the land? because of totalitarianism. Finally got so strong that equal force, law of physics, repressed energy. When parents come to me with a rebellious child, I say, well, first we got to do is sit down and minister to the parents. There's always the exception. There are always children that choose to be rebellious just because of various things. And it may not be the parents' fault, but that needs to be dealt with first. If it's the parents' fault, then that has to be corrected before the child will generally ever come out of it. If it's totalitarian, and it's unlikely that the child is ever going to straighten around. And today, this is still a socially, religiously accepted normal parenting style. The rules of raising children are authenticated by religious teachings of false submission. Especially the verses, everybody's heard them so much. Wives submit, children obey. And it leaves out the submit ye one to another. Or in kindness, or in love, in humility, instructing one another, considering one another. The way that children are parented forms their core beliefs about themselves. How many of you, raise your hand, you're really strongly confident about who you are? In godly raised home, or where, especially as a fruit of deliverance, this is what comes out. You become confident. Scripture says, cast not away your confidence. We should know who we are in Christ. But I minister to so many people that say, I can't do it. I'll never amount to anything. That was one I heard over and over again. You'll never amount to anything. You know what that child does? They work the rest of their life trying to prove that they will amount to something. And they never do. Under totalitarian, a child is never allowed to express anger or to voice an objection. This is where, today it would just be called what it is, abuse. How many people have met the backhand just because they asked why or dared to question something? Okay. That had effects on us. Okay. Now, I am very pro-discipline, discipline of children, but there's a correct way. Scripture says that we're to discipline. Spare the rod, spoil the child. But you don't spank out of anger. You spank out of correctness. And then you give love. And then you give forgiveness. How many of you ever received forgiveness after the whipping? Okay. That's the scriptural way. Once the discipline's to be, once it's administered and you repented, there's supposed to be forgiveness given. Instead of, you go to your room and you stay up there until you figure it out. Be up there all day, never figure it out, What am I doing up here, This totalitarian parental authority mirrored, it's the same as what was called kingly authority. Anger was expressively forbidden. You study the kings in the Bible, if anybody talked when they weren't asked to, they cut their heads off. Some of you had parents like that. And mothers were that way too. I know a lot of mothers that were just much that way. If their kids talked back, their head was off. The monarchs want to make sure that subjects never protest their lowly status. It keeps you in bondage there. I'm just going to keep going on and on because this is going to push some of these hurts to the top and then we're going to deal with them, okay? And that's the method to my madness. We're going someplace. A family hierarchy of totalitarian powers, blatantly non-democratic. How many of you had a democratic home? You ever vote on things? You ever get to vote on things with your mom and dad? How many of you want to do this tonight? You'll do what I say. You'll do what I tell you to do. You'll jump when I say jump. Right? To live a life and to not know who you are usually goes two ways. It either develops rage or resignation. And for some people, some of the guys, they're just furious inside and they can't get out of the rage. Probably goes back to this. This is the foundation of dealing with it to start your healing. How were you raised? What was the form of government? And then coming into understanding, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You have to deal with that. Then as you understand that, you can forgive your father for being that way, not just for whipping you once too many times. Totalitarian, that was a number one there, that you're not allowed to express anything back. Number two is that it's heavily involves a shaming type of punishment. A punishment that brings shame. Debilitating shame damages your esteem, your belief system, Domestic violence is one of the most damaging to the internal framework of a person. You know, and this is not a matter of blame. I'm not blaming parents. Our parents just mirrored what they were taught. Their generation did that, and the generation did that before, and it goes all the way back before we come over on the boat. But we can examine ourselves to see if our homes really do mirror God's form of government. Shaming, punishment. Disciplinarian styles, such as abusive spanking, slapping on the face. Now, Scripture never says to use your hand to discipline. It says to use a twitch, a lasabich. You don't use your hand because your hands are used to administer love. Go stand in the corner, draw a circle on the blackboard, put your nose in there. How much anger and rage and bitterness came up into somebody who was disciplined with the use of shame? As I talk about it, it's right there, right? You think about it. It hurts. Because God's discipline never shames you. He doesn't downgrade you. He just shows you where you're wrong and administers the correct judgment, the dunce cap, and never finishing the discipline by going through a forgiveness prayer or a restitution act, shaming, punishment. And, you know, kids can't understand this, especially when it's capped off with, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Okay, then you take the spanking, Dad. And that just got a few more legs in, right? You know, but meanwhile, their opinion of themselves just keeps diminishing. Has great effect on the development. When we are abused, we learn to, just like the turtle, you learn to protect yourself. You draw into the shell. You repress your feelings. You deny reality. A child can't say, well, I've got bad parents. I've got abusive parents. Child never thinks that. They think that their parents are their form of God. And said, well, it must be me. And so many times the wound is internalized. And look at all the confusion that sets in and the misunderstandings, because they think that they're the source of the problem. And yet they don't know what it is. How many of you ever felt like you did something, but you don't know what it was you did? Probably goes back to that. I just think that I must have did something. God must be angry at me. It just carries on into every form of life. My boss is out for me. The third thing that it really does is it brings about an emotional abandonment. In many of the totalitarian families, there was no freedom of expression of emotions. You weren't allowed to cry. You were taught to hide or deny your emotions. If you were taught that way, then it's going to become very difficult when God wants you to express your emotions. If parents are abusive and hurt a child physically, sexually, or emotionally, the child assumes blame and they make themselves bad. They think, I'm a bad person, in order to keep the parents as protected. That verse again, I use it so much. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sometimes I'll minister, take a case ministering to a young girl who had an abusive father, and start asking some questions. And I say, what happened growing up? Was your dad abusive? Oh, no, I had a wonderful Christian father. He used to sleep with me. He'd crawl into bed and just take care of me. You see where I'm going. They deny it all. They don't understand. The fourth thing that it causes is you never question the rules. Under totalitarian, we were taught that you're never supposed to talk about the rules. That would show dishonor. Obedience is exalted as the highest value, following orderliness, cleanliness, and control of your emotions. Don't show any emotions. Those were considered the Christian virtues. Children are considered good when they think and behave the way they are taught to think and behave. The more a child is seen and not heard and speaks only when spoken to, the better that child is. I learned that real easy, real early. And, you know, I became very withdrawn, isolated, loner. I didn't make any waves. I went and played by myself. Stayed out of trouble that way. Otherwise, you know, you get a whipping. Many people have to fight the areas of being able to relate to people, have difficulty relating one with another because of our style of upbringing. God wants to set us free. I know some of you are really feeling some hurts. It's okay. We're gonna help you. In fact, many of the religious institutions today and even our court systems still teach totalitarian support. Here's some more of the rules. Some of the fruit, some of the rules under totalitarian parenting. A child's will must be broken as soon as possible. You know, that's not quite right. A feeling of duty produces love. It produces duty-bound Christians. Christians that serve God out of guilt instead of love. I had just went through a season in my church where we lost a few people. And was seeking the Lord about what had gone on. And in this family's life, their whole life was that they served God out of guilt. And they kept coming to church. They wanted to be free. They kept coming. And finally, the day came when they were free from their guilt. Guess what? They quit serving God. Because at the same time, they didn't learn how to love God. They didn't. The love connection never happened. It's sad. Hatred can be done away with by forbidding it. Hatred to be done away, you just forbid it. Obedience makes a child strong. Self-esteem is a harmful sense of worth. Responding to a child's need is wrong. This is some of the things that have come out of various people that have said this is what it was like under totalitarianism. The way you behave is more important than the way you really are. You know, Jesus talked at great length to the scribes and Pharisees about this. Whitewash sepulchres, changing the outside but not the inside. You know, we need to be careful with this in ministering too. It's for many people who are raised in totalitarianism, they're always looking for something they can do on the outside to change things. You know, what can I get rid of next? Yes, the house is to be cleansed. But God is not as interested in you cleansing the outside as He is the inside. God looketh upon the heart. And this is my style of deliverance. I always bring people right back to the heart. And if your heart gets changed, you'll change the outside. It'll flow out. The other way is just legalism. Some more fruit of the rules is that strong feelings are harmful. Another one, parents are always right. You know, and every time you come into a place of stress, a time of stress, your default system, when situations emerge that you don't know how to deal with, you'll go right back to these. These were things that you learned. Better to be seen and not heard. Stress comes into the marriage. What does a husband do that was raised with a totalitarian father? Better to be seen and not heard. Takes off to his cave. See him in a month when he comes out, if he does. Instead of working through the situation. Everybody knows what a default situation is? When you turn your computer off, there are certain things that are set a certain way that always come, when you turn it back on, goes right back to that. I'll give you a scenario. Two people marry with unresolved conflicts with their parents. As the intimacy voltage rises in marriage, conflicts become more intense, and they try to settle their emotional issues with distance. It looks good on the outside. Oh, they must be such a happy marriage. But inside, they're just two people living in the same house. Inside, there's all the struggle, the pain, the loneliness. They separate emotionally. And then pretty soon a child is born, and now you have a triangulated child into the system, and the child becomes the focus of the relationship. And the child becomes the recipient of emotional struggle and becomes emotionally disturbed. Label a child as sick. They become the symptom bearer of a whole sick emotional system. There's many different spirits and we've been working on. One of them in particular, I'm getting off my notes here, is called enmeshment. Enmeshment is when the heart of a parent is more bound to their child than it is to their spouse. If you love your children more than your spouse, your marriage is dysfunctional. You need to get it straightened out. Okay. Need I say that again? If you love your children more than your spouse, something is seriously wrong. You have children because you love your spouse. Not you don't have children so that you will love. And a parent that's enmeshed in the life of their children, they will never move out and have a normal, healthy marriage. The first rule of marriage is leave your father and mother. If they don't, there'll be bitterness and hardness. It's the first rule. Best thing kids can do when they get married is move out of home state. I believe that. One of the most severest problems in marriages is that mother and father are still involved in their kids' marriage. That's a whole sermon just in that. Leave father and mother when you get married. And see, you can't do that if you're enmeshed. It's a corrupt type of love. Some of the end results that can happen to a child in a totalitarian system, and this may be some of you sitting here tonight, addictive compulsive behaviors, or you marry the addict, one with addictive compulsive behaviors, delusional thinking, denial, unmerciful judgment of self and others. This is ministered to people who just get, you know, I don't mean to be that way, but I'm critical of everybody and everything. The root of that so often is totalitarianism. Now, there are some things we're not going to get free from unless we put the axe to the root of the tree. I just challenge you to follow this out and see where it takes you. Lack of good boundary capabilities. The guess at what normal is. Maybe tolerate inappropriate behavior. Constantly seek approval. I'm just going down my list. You'll have to get the tape. Have difficulty with intimate relationships. Where you learn to have an intimate relationship is with your parents. And if it doesn't start there, it takes a long time for God to get us straightened around and undo all the years of wrong learning to get to where we can be marriage material. You know, I don't marry many people. Many people are not marriage material. They want to get married so that person can meet their needs. I said, if that's why you're getting married, no, I won't marry you. You get married, one reason is because you have a lot of love to give somebody. You get married to give, not to get. And if you married somebody that just wanted to get, then it's doomed to ever be intimate anyway. Constantly seeking approval. Difficulty with intimate relationships. Guilt for standing up for yourself. Somebody ever just feel guilty if you stand up? How many people, I'd say, you got to eat, say, what would you like to eat? Well, I don't care, whatever. No, I'm giving you a choice here. What would you like? Apple or banana? It doesn't matter. You know, this is worse than just indecision. This is, you know, there's no backbone, no skeleton inside where they can be them. A disabled will, the ability to use the will. They become reactive, defensive instead of creative. How many of us spend our entire life just reacting to other people? This was a while back. I was going through a rough time. The Lord really began to convict me. It's like I was just reacting to everybody and everything. And of course, the more I reacted, the worse it got. Instead of realizing, Lord, you know, I've got some wounds here. It's not what that person is doing. It's what it's reminding me of, the wound that I have that never got healed. And I started going back and getting some healing on previous wounds, and the reaction just stopped. Now, if you go up to somebody and you do something and they react, it's probably not you at all. It's you reminded them of the wound. It's like the devil, the boxer, hitting you over and over again on the same wound. False loyalty. I'm going to be calling these things out in a little bit. Emotional numbness or resigned, walled up. You've walls are 40 feet high, 40 feet thick, and you dare anybody to get close. Overreaction to changes outside your control. How many people just lose it when something changes? Yeah. How many of you can't handle it when you come to church and somebody's sitting in your chair? Now we're getting real. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, sit in an empty chair. Change things around. People are so insecure. It's amazing how much. But it goes back to how we were raised. we're supposed to have a certain amount of flexibility to be able to be flexible and still not lose yourself. You can stand up for yourself and say, okay, but you know, there's a balance in all that. Feeling different than other people. I read a testimony of a guy that he said, you know, I learned about dysfunctional families early in life. My grandmother raised us, and we had a great thing that whenever it stormed and thundered, we'd all go and gather in the closet and light candles. And it was just a great time. I got to tease my sister while we were in there, and he just thought life was great, you know, and we were all just so close together. And he says, as I got a little bit older, I stayed overnight with Billy one night, and it started to rain and thunder. And I, oh boy, they didn't do anything. So I went home and said, Grandma, they're really weird. They didn't go in the closet and light candles when it rained and thundered. How many times is things like that with us? It develops a anxiousness, or a what we call a hypervigilantness, always on guard, low self-worth, shame-based, overly dependent, terrified of abandonment. They see their life as a victim. They take on a whole victim identity. There's a book that I've written. It's in the back on symptoms of abuse. And I just go down the list. And it's, you know, both men and women are abused. Boys and girls can be abused, especially totalitarianism that's too strong. And there's so much to come out from under abuse. You have to change your thinking that the victim mentality. Another one is being intimidated by anger. Can't handle personal criticism. Or very independent. Super responsible. Or super irresponsible. Of course, in all of those areas, there's a lot of evil spirits that come in. There's also a lot of wounds. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Anybody relate to any of this? Okay. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. It's kind of quiet out there. So, what do we do about all this? Well, let me give you some steps. Obviously, it's going to take some deliverance. Okay. It's going to take some forgiveness, some healing. Okay? Forgiveness is essential. It's a good place to start. You're just going to have to start with forgiving your mother and your father for being totalitarian. You know, I struggled for a lot of years forgiving my dad. My dad's still alive, and we're good friends now. He's Christian, but I had always felt that so rejected from my father. I really felt he didn't love me. It was because of the totalitarianism and the lack of emotion. And it wasn't until I was several years into deliverance that I realized, wait a minute. He did love me. He just couldn't show it. He was never allowed to show it. It kind of changed the whole picture. And the day I really got victory on my forgiveness was the day that I took and wrote it down on a piece of paper. This might work for some of you. Took a piece of paper and I made an IOU. Anybody knows what an IOU is? And mine said, Dad, you owed me love as a child. I was still holding on to that bill. But you know what? There's no way that he could ever love me as that child. Because I wasn't that child anymore. I was in my 20s at this time. No way he could ever go back and give that. When you write it down on a piece of paper, your IOU, forgiveness is tearing up the IOU. You don't owe me anymore. I'm not holding it a bill over your life anymore. And that's forgiveness. That's a good place to start. And if you're having trouble with forgiveness with somebody, you might try that. Now, a lot of people I minister to say, well, you know, I think I've forgiven. I know I've forgiven my parents, but I still hurt. I said, well, forgiveness does not heal wounds. Many Christians have been mistaught. They say, well, just forgive and you'll feel better. Well, maybe, but If I come up to you with a gun and I shoot you in the leg and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shoot you, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Yeah? You still got a wound though, don't you? Yeah. You need some doctoring. Okay? Okay, now does that make sense? Having a wound and forgiveness is two different issues. And we need to be ministering to the wound. Father, in Jesus' name, you said that you would bind up the brokenhearted, to mollify the wounds with your ointment, the balm of Gilead, and bring healing to those wounds. Now, forgiveness is essential, but just because you've forgiven doesn't mean that your wound is automatically healed. You might have to pray for, obviously, we'll pray for restoration on a disabled will. Many people, their will, they don't have a will, the ability to choose. A lot of prayer and recovering, restoring the emotions, breaking down the walls. When I first got into deliverance, I'd come up, somebody'd wrap their arm around me, and I'd just sit there and bawl. That was, I think, my first 3 months deliverance. I did nothing but just cry. And all my emotions was just like a bowl of knots in my stomach. And have you ever hurt so much or cried so much that your stomach hurt? Now that's where they go. Well, those knots have got to be untied before you can really be emotionally whole and give an exchange in emotions. But we pray for those knots to be untied. And it may take some time. You may have to study God's Word to get some of your self-esteem back based on what God thinks about you, not your parents. And you're going to have to choose this by faith. You're going to have to say, you know, my Father loves me, Father God. Jesus loves me the same way that Father loved Jesus. While I was yet a sinner, He came, gave His life for me. See, you're going to have to memorize some Scripture that will work for your life. There's just a lot of different areas that there'll probably be need for praying. And this is kind of like opening up a can of worms, tip of the iceberg. And it probably will be different for each and every person. Shame is going to be a very strong area. If you battle with shame, so often it goes back to totalitarianism. And encourage you to work on these, get deliverance on these. What I want to do tonight is I'm going to take us all before the presence of the Lord and hopefully get you started down that road. There's no way we can never accomplish everything in one night, but I think God can do a great amount of things. So let's come before the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to ask Him for some healing, and we'll do some deliverance as well. Let's pray. Father, we come into Your presence tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, first of all, we ask that You forgive us for taking on forms of government that You have taught us not to do, that we are to esteem each other better than ourselves, that we are to love one another, to do unto them as we would have them do with us. So often, Father, the totalitarian and the pride and these kind of issues, Lord, caused us to raise our family, run our marriage in the same way that our parents did with us. Lord, we ask that You teach us Your form of government, that Jesus would be Lord of our marriage, of our house, of our family. And Lord, we ask that You would bring healing tonight to each and every person who has received any kind of wounds from being raised in the environment of totalitarianism. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for healing on those wounds, the wounded spirit, the distrust, the shame, the rebellion, all the independence that comes out of that. I order you demons to go. Let's take a deep breath and tell these spirits to go, and we'll mix healing and deliverance together. Every spirit that came in by being abused, every spirit that blocked your real self and you weren't allowed to grow or develop, you were just told to go sit in the corner and be quiet. You don't know who you are, where you're going. You have no idea what you're going to do in the future. Having no goals, no directions. All of those spirits that block you, don't know who you are, where you're going. I command you demons to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for healing on every person. Healing in the mind, the will, and the emotions. Every part of the emotions that are just all bound up in fear. The fear of speaking out, the fear of questioning. All of these evil spirits that come into these areas, come out right now. Addictive, compulsive behaviors in Jesus' name. Delusional thinking, the spirit of denial. Come on. Every demon that's in with this area, come out right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Feeling guilty for standing up for yourself. Move out. False loyalty. False loyalty in Jesus' name. Come on. Move, move. The spirit that tells you, well, I can't disrespect my parents. I'll just have to stay home and live with them forever. Come on. Every one of those spirits, the false loyalty. Move. Come on, right now. Loose God's people. Low self-worth. Internalized shame. Feeling that they didn't do a mistake. They are a mistake. Come on. All that shame. Come on, right now. Come on. In Jesus' name. Move. All the spirits that came in with harsh abuse. Move. Move. All the shame that come in. Father, pray for healing on any wounds. Bitterness and resentment. Anger toward anybody that treated us this way. Parents, teachers, anybody in authority that shamed you as you were growing up. Come on, all those spirits, come on right now. The wounds to the spirit, the difficulty in forgiving them or loving them in Jesus' name. Lord, pray for healing on those wounds right now. Bring healing. Bind up the brokenhearted, Father. We pray for your balm of Gilead, the anointing oil, Father, to be upon those wounds, to heal them in Jesus' name. Come on, every spirit that's on top, everything that's stirred up from this, turning to rebellion, turning against all authority, hatred of authority, hatred of people in authority, anger toward God. Why did you allow this? All the confusion and doubt. Why can't my parents just love me? Why doesn't anybody just accept me the way I am? Come on, all of the spirits that you never feel accepted for who you are. You're always having to do better, be better. Move, move. All of these issues in acceptance, no matter what you do, it's never good enough. And just raise the bar higher. Move. Abandonment, emotional abandonment, deep hurt, broken heart, wounds. Move. Every spirit of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. Every spirit, come on, you demons, come out. Come out of people's minds, wills, and emotions. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you bring healing to these areas. All the abuse, the verbal abuse, the constantly verbally being told that you're less than nothing, that you're stupid, that you can't do anything right. All of the verbal abuse, in Jesus' name. Come on. All of those spirits that are lodged in your memory and your belief about yourself and your belief toward God. Come on, demons that are in this area. Come on, right now. Come on, all the way out. Loose God's people. Loose them. Loose them. Come out right now, angels. Grab them, take them out of here where God have them go. Whatever's on top, whatever's stirred up, you feel something that's very strong in your mind, just tell it to go. Father, bring healing of that. Healing of the relationship. Bring healing in the relationship between children and parents, between husband and wife, between all these areas in Jesus' name. Heal those relationships in Jesus' name. Come on, the forgiveness, the bitterness, the resentment. The deep seething anger, I'll never forgive them, I'll never talk to them again. All rash vows, vows spoken in rashness, break those off. Come on, all of you demons to come out. Everything that's on top, come on. All of the hurt, all of the regret, the pain of regret, all of the loss and the grief, loss and grief of not having a childhood, not having a close relationship with your parents. Never receiving the love from your father, never receiving the love from your mother. And all the loss and the regret, the being forced to grow up too fast, never having a childhood, all the anger over that. Come on, move out. Whatever's on top, come on, all the way out. Father, in Jesus' name, bring healing to each and every person. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'll begin to show each and every person how much you value them and their worth. Even the very hairs of their head are numbered, and they're worth more than any sparrow, Father. You know everything that they do. Reveal unto them, Father, the worth that you see in them, the love that you have for them, Father, that they can love themselves, that they can love their neighbors as they love themselves. Come on, all the demons that are on top, whatever's there, whatever's stirred up, you come out right now, move out. Any and all addictive behaviors, all running away. As soon as I get old enough, I'm going to run away from home. And all those runner spirits, still running. running from authority. Come on, let's go. Running. Run away from authority. Become vagabonds. Always going. Can't ever settle down. No home, no church. Come on. All of the running spirits. Every time something stressful comes up, you just run again. Come on, let's go. All of those running spirits, the fear of commitment. If I commit to something, they'll abuse me. They'll take advantage of me. Come on, all the demons that make you think or feel this way. Come on, let's go. Move out. Whatever's on top. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Any and all evil spirits that are in this area tonight that have been stirred up with this message, you come out. You loose God's people. God is no respecter of persons. God holds no prejudice. He does not think one sex is better than the other or one color is better than the other. He sees no color in that way. Come on. All of these spirits. Come on, let's go. Everything on top. Up and out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Keep going. Keep going. Whatever's on top. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Keep going. I think I'm going to quit with this, and some of you no doubt may want a little bit more prayer. And I think maybe if you want more prayer, can you come forward and have some workers, or we'll be pray for anybody more individually here? I'm going to give my voice a rest. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the work that you're doing. We pray that you'll continue to work in our lives. Set us free, Lord, from everything that binds, harasses, and torments. Help us, Father, to learn of your government. Help us to learn of your ways, Father, that we can become Christ-like in everything that we do, Father. And we give you all praise and glory for the work that you're doing. As we learn to be in one accord, as we learn to honor each other better than ourselves, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.